welcome again to the Hour of Truth. I'm Paul Muller. I have Brad here and Philip. And we'll be back in just a second. I love it. We're on. We have levels, Houston. We are up. Oh, well, good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
We had an interesting service.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It was a trip through Ephesians 5, and I stopped at the end of 5. But the truth of the matter is, it's all a complete thought, and we may end up spending some time looking at Ephesians 6, and there may be some travels out towards other places. We'll have to see how it all plays out. Something that is not the metaphor I was using. Okay. All right, we did the relationships between us and God, which is where Ephesians 5 opens, and the relationship between husband and wives, and parents and children. And then back from the relationship between God and the church. So, Ephesians 6 actually opens with the parents to the children. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." That's something that most children don't want to hear. and it's just because it's right. This is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Part of that is, you know, it's the Lord's way. Your parents, even if they don't know the Lord, are in His way in parenting, whether they agree with Him or not.
Whether they agree with the Lord or not.
Right.
Because they hold that position.
Because they hold that, yeah.
You went back in service this morning to where Jesus said to people following Him to listen to the scribes and Pharisees, for they sit in Moses' seat.
But don't do what they do.
Yeah, don't do what they do. I think 6:1 there, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And he's making an argument there. This is a right thing, you know. And it says, of his own will begat he us with a word of truth. And also that we are created in the image of Christ. And sometimes you'll hear something and you know it's right. Now everything has to be judged against the Word of God, obviously. But this argument for this is right, you know. Sometimes you just know it's a right thing.
Right. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And that is pretty much the commandment. I mean, he didn't embellish it or, you know, explain it or anything. It is... I forget which one it is, but
when he says in verse 2, honor thy father and thy mother.
Yeah.
There would be the obvious, which is to treat them kindly and with respect. But I have been taught that honor thy father and thy mother, particularly to the Jews, reflects an obligation to care for them in their later years. Jesus got on the Pharisees about saying, well, you negate the Word of God with your traditions. Because you'll say, a man will say to his mother and father, well, I'm not going to do for you what I should because it's Korban, or it's designated as a gift in the service of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So in your traditions, you negate the law of God. But the idea there of honor thy father and thy mother is not merely a respectful way of talking to them. Things got deep.
No, it's when you talk about your parents and you go, you know, mom.
He just made the little spinny thing next to his temple.
That's not giving her honor. That's making fun of her.
Right.
And
I think about, like, you know, you see on the movies, you know, the Asians, you know, talking about, you know, honorable father. I don't know that that's such a bad deal, really. It reminds you. Okay, if I got annoyed with you, which happens, I don't come to you and yell at you or something. I might respectfully ask a question or something. You know, I guess that's all right. If I'm coming to you and not to somebody else, but there's definitely honor in the way that we speak to each other. Yeah, this mic is on. Sarah's saying she can't hear, but oh, you got levels.
Can you turn it on?
Well, we have levels. So.
I don't know, Sarah. Maybe you need to boost it on your end.
There you go. We will just speak up then. They say they can hear me. So y'all speak up when you got something to say.
All right, I'll do it.
Because that mic, I got it all the way up. All righty.
Down three now, right?
Three. The promise is that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And it's, as I recall, that is about health.
That it may be well with thee?
Yeah. And that you may live long on the earth. Now, the longer I live on the earth, I'm not really sure if that's a good thing, but that's... That's just me. There you go. She had to recycle that player, is what she had to do. And...
I was pretty sure it wasn't anything I was doing. I just didn't want to say it.
Yeah, right. Well, we blame you anyway. And let's see. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Yeah, don't exasperate them.
It don't bring them to a place where they lose hope.
And it's not scripture, but you know, Davey's talked about how Ricky was a little guy and he wanted to talk to him, and Davey's trying to read. Davey pretty partially blew him off, and the Lord said, I'm gonna treat you like you treat your boy. Come here, Ricky, I got plenty of time to hang with you. Tell me what's happening. So, I realize that's not scripture, but, you know, as you judge, you shall be judged, right?
Yeah.
So there's something to that. And I find myself, you know, my kids are 4 and 7, the ones that live at home. And they're doggone annoying. They just are. They just don't listen to them, dude. And, you know, I have recently, you know, been guilty of just doggone it. We've had this discussion before, but then I think, well... My boss sometimes will dress me down rather loudly in public, and I don't like it. So there's no reason to think they would like it. You're supposed to treat others like you want to be treated. Where are you going now? I see you fishing around at 5.
Yeah, well, I was hunting for that interesting phrase that...
What's that?
About the understanding. I'll have to go back there later.
Oh, nurture?
No. The nurture is actually discipline.
In the discipline of the Lord?
Yeah. It is.
Well, along that line, that's not just discipline in the sense of do what I say. But the way you're using the ball, the word nurture would be discipline and sensible, handling the affairs of life in a godly manner. You know, we tell my son JC, you know, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Like, you don't have to walk around bummed out. You don't have to become overly annoyed with your brother for no particular reason. You know, it's possible to do it others as you would have them do it to you. So that discipline in the sense of developing a godly character, not just a way of living your life that doesn't drive people around you nuts. So that would be one piece of that. I know it's going to go deeper. You got that pulled up yet?
I'm pulling on it.
All right. So it's 6:3, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. So you get a little long life, and you're saying in decent health. And then 4, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that...
Well, one of the meanings of it is chastisement.
Yeah, I just bumped into that proverb. It says, thou shalt beat thy son. Oh, gosh, that wouldn't fly very well with the local DSS crew, would it? That's the Department of Social Services here in South Carolina.
It has, it is a long definition. Let me, and I keep getting...
Don't read it to me. I can't see it.
I'm trying to make it stay up. It keeps going away on me. Okay. It's translated chastening three times, nurture one, instruction one, and chastisement one. Appears 6 times.
So you're going to instruct them in what needs to be done or avoid.
All right.
Chastening them.
The whole training and education of children, which relates to the cultivation of mind and morals, and employs for this purpose
Carter's got a note up here in the chat, instruction that aims at increasing virtue.
Yeah, that's a part of it. For this purpose now, commands and admonitions, now reproof and punishment. It also includes the training and care of the body. Whatever an adult's, this is number 2, whatever an adult's cultivates the soul, especially by correcting mistakes and curbing passions, to A, instruction which aims at increasing virtue, and to B, chastisement, chastening of the evils with which God visits men for their amendment.
Amendment?
Yeah, like you amend the Constitution, add something to it. And, there's an awful lot in the nurture and the admonition.
Yeah, you see that in the definition. Instruction, admonition, chastisement if all else fails. But then also in 4, provoke not your children to wrath. You don't want to exasperate them. It's easy as a parent to just ride your kid.
Sure.
Because they're annoying. You come home and you're tired or whatever, and they just act like themselves. So it falls on us as parents to get these points across in a way that they can be received and not just endured.
Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ.
See, I got the magic marker, and I took that out of my Bible.
I don't doubt that.
If you worked for her, you would have done it too, man.
I probably worked for more people like her than you could ever imagine. Let's see.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me when it happens to you, Paul.
Uh-huh.
You're a godly man. You can handle this.
Who told you that?
I just made it up on the fly, bro.
Jeez. Have I exhausted myself on this?
The loaded man. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. This is your boss.
Right.
Fear and excuse me.
Well, it's whoever's over you.
Yeah. I mean, I guess for my wife it would be me. For me, it's my boss, or perhaps you, or Phil, in a given instance. And then, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart is unto Christ. So this, whoever's over you stands in the place of Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart.
Well, yeah, but you have a couple of things tied in there. You have servants, be obedient to your masters. You have children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Yep. You have fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. One thing here that I see is a key thing is obedience. And one of the things, you know, for fathers is, you know, a big thing with my children. I remember Briley would want to help me clean the car. Or we would go and do things, you know, feed the goats, whatever it may be.
Right.
I say, look, what you're going to do, I want you to do what I tell you to do.
The way I tell you to do it.
When I tell you to do it. Briley, when I ask you to do something, I want you to drop everything and go and do it. Now, she's better at it than I am. But the point there is, you know, you're bringing up your children. One is, they need the correction saying, oh, crap, that chastisement puts them back and keeps them accountable for their actions.
Right.
You take that consequence away, you lead them to hell.
Yeah. It's all about keeping people accountable. Yeah. Jesus always held everybody accountable when he was dealing with the Pharisees. He just exposed them for the hypocrisy.
Right. And then you also have that obedience on top of that is also that nurture part is bring them up. Then I tell Briley? I said, when you have me, and I'm telling you, but there will be a day, she might be married. She'll always have a covering. She's a woman. But there's going to be a day when the Lord says, drop this and go do this. I want you to be at the point where you're obedient to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the biggest part in doing that is playing by example. So that goes into the next verse. Servants, be obedient to your masters. Whomever is over you, Brad, you're hitting on that. So, you know, my kids are going to pick up by me showing more than anything, which is scary. And over my head, I'm so screwed up. But it is what it is. So, but
when the best way to not provoke them to anger or to what was the word that we used.
Exasperate,
frustrate, that kind of thing, is with inconsistency. They don't know where the target is, and when you give a kid a moving target, they throw up their hands and say, "What's the point?
I can't hit it.
There's no way. There's no way I can please in this matter." Troy, I know that feeling. Bye-bye. I do.
I live in that.
Yeah,
at work. I got so many things that I have to do that I have to be responsible for that I know I can't fulfill all of those things. And it's an exasperating thing. And I go, you know, I want to just do something else. I throw up my hands. No joke. So I don't want to set my children up in that same manner. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want that for them. You want to make that target hittable. And you want to praise them when they do hit it, and then at the same time you also want, if they don't hit it but they're trying, you don't beat them down for it. You encourage them.
Right.
You encourage them. Hey, look, let's try it from a different angle.
Your nurturing comes out of agape love and not out of selfish anger.
Right. And so, I mean, there's... It's very... I mean, we look at that commandment right there. We look at number four. That is huge.
When
huge.
When Davey said, "Go away, you bothered me." That's
exasperating.
That's being selfish and just dealing with out of anger rather than the love of God. It's like, so, you know, when God taps him on the shoulder and says, "So you want me to treat you that way?" You know, hey.
And so we've made a little jump here from how to be a servant, how to be a master. And like you were saying, the Lord's clearly defined. Love me with everything. Love your neighbor as yourself. Not negotiable, not really difficult to understand. And likewise, particularly with our kids, I need you to do this or avoid that.
You know, but back in 5, when he's talking about husbands, it's like, I'm going to deal with you husbands in a way that you understand. You understand how to love yourself. Love your wife like that.
I got that down. I know what that is.
You understand how to love yourself. You understand how to love your dog. Now you need to learn how to love your wife.
You know what you were
saying, and your kids.
Well, Phil, you were saying you let them know. You know, you let your girls know when they get it right. And by extension, I'm sure also in hope you do that. That's a good thing.
Well, I'm saying that's what I should be doing. We're talking about Scripture, not me.
What are you trying to say? So now that we've backtracked and gone back to visitation of verse 3 and 4. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. The fear and trembling thing, I got that down. I was afraid of everybody who was ever in charge of me. I was absolutely sure they were going to tear me a new one.
That's not so bad, is it?
No, I don't need a new one. I got more than I can handle.
I mean, fear and trembling. Most people, man, where I work, South Carolina is right to work, and there are no unions at the plant where I work, maybe some of the contractors. So you can be hired and fired at will for any reason or no reason. That's just South Carolina. So how bad is that? I mean, really, if you're doing a good job, why wouldn't they want to keep you? And if you're not, why would you think they'd want to keep you? I mean, that's doesn't sound so bad to me.
Yeah, that's not.
Well, you always want to have the power of government in cahoots with you to require them to keep you. I mean,
if a card check goes through, that may be a choice that's made for you.
Okay. Fear and trembling as unto Christ. Whatever you're doing it as unto the Lord.
Right, because your boss stands in the
place. And you should have a reasonably good understanding of that fear and trembling as well.
You going into 7?
Philippians 2 uses that kind of phraseology when it says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." This is, you have a master, and you're trying to please him. And he's not trying to frustrate you, cause you to be exasperated. He's trying to raise you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
And our master, Christ, made himself a servant to all of mankind.
Right.
So that's the example as a master that's set forth.
Now, we've all worked with people who are eye servers.
We've all been people, if we wanted to own up to it, that did it with eye service.
Well, give me an example of what you mean, and then I'll give you an example of what I mean.
I work better under supervision. Direct, hands-on, right there with me supervision. I get more done. I do.
That's not the same thing. That's not the same thing. An eye pleaser, man pleaser, an eye service worker, is going to be doing what the boss wants him to do when the boss is around. And then when the boss turns his gaze away from him, back doing what he wants to do. Or he may have been doing it the boss's way when the boss was looking, and he's doing it the way he wants to do it when he ain't looking. It really is all about appearances. It has nothing to do with if you have to be directly supervised, that's one thing.
Right.
But that is a rebellious worker that is an eye pleaser. Eye service men pleaser.
I would say I'm feeling better, but no.
Not so much. But there's a kind of a distinction there.
That's pretty good.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because I manage. And I get...
You've seen this in action?
Gosh. Am I going...
They can't see you shaking your head.
I'm sorry. But it's funny that all I have to do when I see BS going on is look. I don't even have to say something. I look at them. And all of a sudden that just dissipates. Someone starts something, doing something, and I go,
Yeah, you're guiding them with your eye. That's their response.
Yes. Well, this has been over many of non-responses that had hampered, but
you know, that's pretty good, Phil, because I mean, somewhere in the Old Testament, it might be Proverbs, the Lord said of us, I want to be able to guide you with my eye. I don't want to put a bit in your mouth like a mule. So that's good. I mean, if you can cut your eyes.
I need a bit in my mouth. Hey, they're doing better than I am, then, apparently.
It speaks ill of these guys in that you had to cut your eyes out. That's true. But it speaks somewhat well of them that all you had to do was cut your eyes out of them.
Well, it didn't start off. There was a work there.
Hey, going back to the chastisement. Do you want to work here?
But you know, and it's the same thing. It's like, you know, I go in the back office and I'm handling all this situation, and then nothing's moving, and I walk outside and things start moving again. It's like, you know, that's the kind of stuff that happens. Look, these guys work hard, right? You know, I'm not even going to down on that. It's
tough job.
This job is freaking ridiculous, really. But it's just a loaded amount of stuff that you push through, and there's a lot harder job. Watch Deadly's Catch and you go... Phew.
Give me some tires.
Yeah.
All right, let me change some tires.
Not as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That is the absolute opposite. You're doing... The definition I have heard was that character in a person is who they are when no one's watching. And that's really what this is you prove who you are to the Lord when there is nobody else watching you be. It is the absolute opposite of the Pharisaical and scribe structure, who was all about being seen doing what they were doing. Their piety had to be on display.
And you know, something that comes up there, Paul... It's written in the Word, and it is told us how we ought to be in all these positions that we are in right now. And it's why it's told us to be this way, is because it's a choice to be this way. To abide in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Because I tell you right now, there are times when it's all about the Lord, that's how it is.
It's all.
And then when it's I'm listening to the flesh and I'm in the flesh, it's 180 degrees the opposite direction. And
the other thing is, you know, that this is about where your heart chooses to be. If when you're about pleasing the Lord, then none of this is an issue. You're not, you know, you wish people didn't see you make judgments that were invalid judgments, you know, unrighteous judgments. But they do. That's the way people are. And you can't stop that. But you can do what you're supposed to be doing with the right heart attitude. But in many cases, that's just a choice.
Yeah, well, I mean, it kind of brings it back to the gospel. You can look at this and go, oh, I am not like this, man. None of this. I am not like any of this. And by nature, not at all. And you... And, what it takes is that choice. So you go into the, you go to the gospel and say, Lord, I'm not like this. But you know what? You've defeated. You conquered an enemy, and I can be in the spirit. And it brings you to that choice. That choice that it gives you to make with the freedom He's giving you in the gospel, where you're not, you don't have to be attached to this dead man anymore. You don't have to, your soul's not in league with this dead man, or it doesn't have to be. That's why when it says that should be saved, that it talks about in John 3:16, should be saved. I mean, that's not a definite. That's still called Paul's own free will, which the Lord does not take away from you. You know, even you go to where it says servants of be obedient to your masters. Remember when Paul talks about, you know, as a free man, not use it rather, but use it as, you know, you be a servant.
Use it as a cloak of maliciousness.
Right. Well, I mean, as a free man, he talks about, don't use that, but rather use yourself as a servant as unto the Lord. But as a servant, don't use that as you be in bondage to somebody, but you're free to serve the Lord and the servitude that you're called to. And that is literally that master that you are owned to for, you know, 7 years or whatever the deal may be.
What you're talking about there, this life of service and this life of self-denial, it sounds almost oppressive. Well, it does sound oppressive to me. But
it's freedom from this flesh to be able to serve and please the Lord. It's a freedom.
Yeah. It's freedom from the self-tyranny of your flesh, and it puts you in that point. Look, Jesus said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Peace not as the world gives, give I unto you. Now, what is it that you want? I mean, what's that job doing for you? That job is providing for your family. That job is providing for the people you care about the most. But that should not be drudgery to have to do it. Now, when we finally get to that point you're talking about, we're able to serve even unrighteous or harsh masters from the heart, because we recognize that that master is standing in Christ's place. So we are at liberty to serve Jesus Christ, even if the way He's manifested Himself to us in a situation is pretty bad, you know?
Well, He's building a structure here. He started off with the how to deal with your children. And if you raised your children, like in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, then they're going to be walking around with these characteristics.
They're going to be better to be around.
Yeah.
Maybe not today, but over a period of time as they pick it up. I'm just saying that it's the things Christ told us to do really are for our benefit. I mean, it makes a better life. You may not have the physical things that people around you have. You may not have good health. You may not have a lot of things. But you can be okay on the inside.
Part of that nurture and admonition of the Lord that equips them for where he takes this is giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, or agape. That's the nurture and admonition of the Lord. When you put in your children and add all that stuff to their training, then they are, what does it say? Neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the whole purpose of the nurturing and admonition of the Lord, of the training up of the child. And on that foundation, this is not a struggle. The trouble is we didn't have that foundation. So it was a struggle for me. It still is a struggle for us, the rest of us, right?
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
The foundation wasn't there. So, you know, the Lord's trying to build a new platform. A reboot is in process. And we're, you know, trying to get these things corrected. And accomplishing it to a certain degree, in certain various stages of reboot.
Oh, it seems like I'm back at 17 years old going, man, I'm just as screwed up as...
Well, your eyes are open.
You know, 17, I'm going, what?
I love that listing you just read off in the book of Peter because, you know, he says, if you'll do these things, you won't be barren or unfruitful. Man, I do not want to be found unfruitful because I know what Jesus said happens to an unfruitful piece of the body.
Yeah.
That just cannot be me. And this is laying out a clear path to get there. Yeah, and a word that stuck out in there to me, Paul, when you were reading it, is the word kindness. Because we've been in a context of child rearing or being in a position of authority over somebody. But it's entirely possible to rebuke somebody with kindness. You know, if you can put aside your passion or your anger, if you will, in a moment and just address the situation. And I'm saying that, it's convicting me as I'm saying it because... Man, I've had my ears fiery red on the tips going after my little kids, and it's got to be terrifying to them. I don't want to be like that, and I know I don't have to be like that. But the people over me don't treat me that way, except for...
But,
you know, it's...
Yeah. And you're right, Phil, but does the foundation, it keeps going. It was to the employee, and now it's to the supervisor. It was to the servant, and now it's to the master.
Yeah, and thought about masters, and you Christ know, and, laid out how to do it.
Well, and then you have another scripture there. Let me tell you about supervising or whatever. Oh, would I love to get paid what I paid and go back to tire checking. And I thought that was hard at some point. No, but you know, you have that. Who will be the chiefest among you? Let him be the servant of all.
Yeah.
You, the more you're responsible for, the more of in servitude you are in. I mean, I have loads more responsibility than I did when I was just tire teching, and I don't really like it, to be honest with you.
You go home more tired now. Having not hardly busted any tires than you did, I would venture to say, than when you were physically shagging tail all day.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's hard on you.
Well, I don't remember where we left off.
But, you know, you go, and then you also, it says, what is it? Talks about praying those for those in authority that it not be grudging for them. You know what I mean? Reason why you pray for them is because they got a pretty freaking tough job. Well, the accountability to the Lord, you know, as you know, like Paul, the pastor, is accountable for us to the Lord. We need to keep him in prayer because that is a freaking tough job. He is accountable, and we don't want it to be grudging for him. It would be grudging for us, and.
Well, I know it's.
Same with being a parent. Same with, you know, any kind of accountability that you have. It's your accountability.
Especially hard for this guy here, Paul, because in the natural, he's not highly confrontational. But, I mean, it's something that he has to do. You stopped in...
Seven,
yeah.
Well, doing the will of God from the heart is where verse 6 ends up. With goodwill doing service as unto the Lord and not unto men. Again, who are you trying to please here?
And that, with goodwill doing service. With goodwill, not grudging.
Right.
Not because I got to have a paycheck or not, whatever.
Not as if you're in most cases, you're not trying to do the thing to get them to owe you something.
You know, we're going through this stuff, and tomorrow's Monday, and now I'm scared, man. Because this stuff always flips around on me whenever we go through it.
I don't know. You know, I got Tuesday off, so maybe I can just make it through tomorrow. I got the next day off.
Then it goes back to freedom. If you're serving to serve Christ and you're doing it with goodwill, he's going to meet you in it. Mm-hmm. And I've had a couple of things happen in the last week, one in particular that's awesome. I got a job bid in out in Socorro and ended up getting a recommendation from the logistics director of my plant for, you know, on my behalf to the manager of that warehouse. Why did that happen? I did a short stint of about 9 months in this director's group doing really menial stuff. I was off code when the economy fell out. And he says, No, I know that, you know, you work this way and that way and you do this and don't do that. I'm thinking, how did you know that? I mean, I know this guy from around, but he's like several levels over where I work. And that's a good example because even with all my chronic shortcomings, this fellow was able to honestly, I think he's a believer, to honestly say, yeah, I can recommend you for this. So there's a, you do this stuff and you may not see the reward in the moment, in the day or in the month, but it does have a way of coming back around. Jesus said it would be given, you know, with good measure pressed down and shaken together will men give into your bosom.
Well, the only thing that occurs to me is I'd be wondering who he was watching.
You just had to.
We're never going to make it to
I saw this thing. If I throw a tract in my electric bill, I can take a tithe deduction. As long as we're just treating each other like that.
Oh, boy.
Okay, moving right along.
Moving.
Yeah, it's always money.
Plowing right along.
It's always money with you, Bill. Good night.
Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received, shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free.
Yeah, and this shows you, Phil, it doesn't have to be about money. Whatsoever good thing any man doeth.
Well, you know, it says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. You know, I look at that, and I was, you know, I looking back what I was talking about earlier.
It's about how good is the Lord. Exceedingly well, abundantly above that which we could ask.
No, that's not what I was getting at.
I know.
Whether you're a bond, then you know, use that as, I'm a free man to serve the Lord. I'm serving the Lord in this. And even though I'm bound to my master for these 7 years or whatever it may be, I'm freely serving the Lord. And I'm a free man.
When
you're free, you know what? I'm a servant to the Lord. I'm not... You're
building up a boomerang that is fixing to snag your butt. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just telling you what the word says.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not saying anything like this. I'm trying to dodge that boomerang as much as I can right now.
Trying to turn that thing from hardened plastic or metal down and trying to make it a Nerf thing.
You know, exactly.
Let's go to verse 9.
Guys, I'm just telling you what the word says. That's it.
And
Yeah.
Me a boomerang. I don't need no more boomerang.
It was Paul's telling, and I don't remember whether it was in Titus or somewhere. He says, "Are you free? Then you're the
Lord's
servant.
Right. Yeah.
If you're
that's what I was getting.
If you're a
slave, then you're Lord's freeman.
But either way,
is Titus. Anybody remember where that is?
New Testament.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you for
the clarity.
And in that, I mean, you're gonna the same shall he receive of the Lord. Look, in either situation, there are still good things for you. And you know that treasure is not here on earth, but that treasure is there in heaven. I mean, it could be rewarded here on earth, and the Lord bless you in that. I mean, we got that example, Joseph,
yeah,
who was sold into bondage. I mean, that is a great example in that. And the Lord, he ended up becoming
number two man in Egypt
over all his things. And, you know, so he was blessed mightily. But, you know, the more important thing is, you know, look at lay not yourself treasures here on earth. But, you know, he was just seeking the Lord and doing what Ephesians is saying right now, and was just blessed abundantly. And not only that, I believe his name is written there in the book of life. He's there with the Lord now. So,
yeah, Joseph,
and that's the receiving. That's the treasure we hold up in heaven. We're not seeking here on earth on that.
Yeah, Joseph.
It's not to get gain. It wasn't about getting gain.
Still talking about Joseph, right?
Yeah. Well, and the scripture too. I mean, the verse we're reading.
And he masters.
Now you're in verse 9.
Yeah. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening. That means not threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is the respect of persons with him. In other words, he don't play favorites.
Well, it's almost harder on the masters. I think it is harder on the masters. Because, like you're saying, everybody's accountable to somebody. I mean, even if you're the top dog, you still got to make enough money to keep the company afloat. So the masters, they not only have to do right on for whoever they're under, but they have to do right by the people they're over.
Yeah,
because it says you know your master's in heaven and there's no respect for persons with him. There is a day of reckoning coming.
Then, just because you have the authority to be threatening doesn't mean that that's the way the Lord would have you be.
So, which is, for me, as a boss, is a hard thing.
You have... It goes back to the father-son relationship. I'm bigger and badder than you, and I got a bigger stick in you. And
I'm bigger than you are this year.
Yeah. Because there is a minute line here, guys. That, I mean, I don't know if you guys see it. I do. I mean, there's a fine line of chastisement and threatening. There's a very tipping line there for me. You need to get correction going into a certain direction, but
I think that line is intense.
The threat is a reminder of what comes, but the threat has to have substance, or it's no longer a threat. In other words, that's where consistency is the way to not exasperate a child. You got to can't have a target moving all. If you do that again, I'm going to tear your butt up. And they do it again, you don't tear their butt up.
Now you've done them a disservice.
Now they don't even believe the threat.
But that fine line you're talking about, Phil, is intent. Because you need to be able to put aside your passion and your anger with the intent of bringing your employee or your child to where they need to be for their benefit. You could look at the Old Testament prophets and they would threaten, absolutely, we're fixing to... You're fixing to see your city burned or whatever. But always, always, always. But if you'll turn, the Lord is good, the Lord is gracious. And Jonah knew that so well. He said, I ain't going to those guys in Nineveh. The Lord's so good. I know they're going to turn, and I want to see them get messed up. But the intent's always for the benefit of the other person.
No, that was Jonah.
Yeah, I'm maybe more Jonah.
So how do you do? Yeah. How do you do all this? Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's not in me to be like this. You know, there's times with certain people that it's within my power to be like this. It's within me to be like this. But I play favorites. I'm not. I'm not there.
If I need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, then I need to have already prayed. I need to have already been in the Word. And for most of us that work a job, you need to take a little time. We've been talking about putting the time in. You were hitting that in service this morning. There's no way around it. You've got to put the time in. You've got to pray. You've got to be in the Word. Because when this stuff hits you, and you know it's going to hit you, you got to already be in this armor, which is the next series of verses here.
Absolutely.
Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Duh.
Well, the Apostle Paul talked about in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. And these things that come on us, the resistance of the people around us, that the people that are resisting us are themselves victims of sin, victims of Satan.
Partakers of the darkness of this world.
As we were and sometimes still are.
Yeah. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why you need the whole armor of God. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore.
Right.
Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Verse 14. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he said that God's word, Jesus himself said God's word is truth. If I'm to have my loins girt about with truth. And you know what he's saying, your loins girt about, they wore more like skirts than pants in that era. And they would gird up, they would put a strap or something up under that skirt so they were able to fight or work. And if you don't have that truth on you, you're kind of hamstrung going into the battle. That's why you need to be in that word.
Yeah, stand there for it. Stand. We really had to pick this one today, Paul. Stand there for it.
We had. Yeah, this was the. This one was the Lord's. This one was the Lord's. I didn't pick this one. The other thing that Brad was you were talking about is it kind of leaves you exposed.
Your legs. Yeah.
And, you know, that's just not good. Okay.
I like the back half of this 14. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. You notice, with Pentecostal holiness background, I would look at that like righteousness was what I did and didn't do. That's how it was preached to me. I didn't know. And, oh, man, that would leave me defenseless constantly. But, you know, and I would have to look it up. Righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, is also referred to as the breastplate of faith and love. That's just night and day. Faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and love for Him and the brethren, which is my choice, and that allows me to wear His robe of righteousness. So now, when the devil hits me with something, I can, in the moment, I can say I am righteous before Christ.
Where was I? And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means you're taking it everywhere you go.
as you go preach.
Yeah. Sometimes use words. Each other, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Breast the shield of faith. And what does he come against us with?
Fiery darts.
Of?
Doubt, unbelief.
Absolutely. And it says this quenches the fire. It not only takes the darts, it quenches the fire. And the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Yep, now you're back into it. You've got to put the time in to read it.
Yeah, well,
you got
to
do it.
The helmet of salvation is a covering, and it is from the seat of your will. Where you make the choice.
The helmet of salvation, yeah. Where you make your choice. The hope of believing in the gospel, which the salvation of Jesus Christ set us free.
All right, I got to wrap this up because we're only like a minute out.
Got one verse, might as well.
Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That is the time. That's you putting the time in.
Yeah, and it's praying always with all prayer and supplication. Walk.
And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
So we ought to speak boldly.
This is the way you pray for those over you. But ye also know my affairs and how I do. But that ye may know how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. And the rest of it is a closeout. It is doable, and the provision is, it starts in verse 10.
Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Absolutely. Well, we're down to the final minute or so, so I'm going to say y'all have a great week. Thank you for joining us. We hoped it was instructive and fun. We try to make it that. And God bless everybody.
God bless y'all. God bless.